How are we all doing? Come on. It's so good to be here with you. Come on, let's open up in prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you for today, Lord, and just the blessings we've received. We're so grateful that we have the ability to breathe oxygen into our lungs, and we know that you've got so much in store for us. And it's no different tonight, Father God, that you have something in store for us, that you have an appointment for us tonight, Father God, that you are going to speak into our hearts and into our minds, Lord, that through your word, you're going to reveal things to us, Lord. And we pray, Father God, that we become action-orientated afterwards, Father, not just hearers of the word, but become doers and activated for your kingdom's cause. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't you high-five three people and say, my name is... Welcome to all of our new people. It is really good to have you with us. I just want to see by a show of hands, how many married couples do we have here tonight? Okay, we have a few here. I can see some aspiring marriage couples. We've got a course coming up, and I just thought I'd let you know about it. It's called Date Nights. They'll get the details up on the screen. But Date Nights is going to start the 14th of May. It's R1,000 per couple, a seven-week program. It includes all your dinners, and it includes all your material and all the curriculum. So I encourage you, if you want to strengthen your marriage, don't wait for your marriage to go through a problem before you deal with it. Actually, rather use these type of programs to actually connect and sow seeds into your marriage so that you could see a fruit grow out of your marriage that is healthy, that God wants for your life. So I encourage you, if you want to, take a snapshot of that, and then you guys can join us there. Are you guys ready for God's word tonight? Come on. I'm very, very glad. Somebody in the middle is very excited for God's word tonight. Praise God for that. Listen, we are in the third week of our series called The Peacemakers. And so if you were with us for the first week of the series, you would have heard the message would have been speaking about having peace with God. And it's about asking, can you glorify God in this situation? It's having peace with God. The second week we went into having peace within yourself. And so we spoke about how taking the log out of your eye before you take the speck out of somebody else's eye. You have to have peace. But tonight we're going to be talking about how to have peace with others. So it's vertically inwards and now sideways. And we are talking about gently restoring people with peace. My prayer is that as we apply these biblical principles that we're going to learn tonight, I believe that you are going to become a game changer. You're going to become a game changer in this areas, every environment you walk into. You're going to become a game changer in your family, and it's even going to change your the entire relationships or in your business or everywhere you deal with. And I pray that God blesses you with it. So tonight, we're going to be reading out of Romans chapter 12, so you can make your way over to Romans chapter 12. Now, there is a warning to tonight's message. It is going to challenge you. It is going to stretch you. And if it doesn't, just let me know and I'll keep preaching. Because tonight, I want you to feel that this scripture is so crucial to dealing with conflict resolution. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you've had to deal with conflict resolution? Where it's felt awkward and you've had to deal with it? Well, tonight we're going to talk about what is your part in that. And so in Romans, if you know anything about Romans, you'll know that up until this part of Romans, Paul has been talking about what the gospel is. But tonight he wants to talk to you about how to be a Christian. So if Paul was standing here instead of me tonight, he would be giving you this scripture as a mandate. This is a way that you should be living your lives. And we're going to be reading from verse 18, Romans chapter 12, verses 18. Maybe you can help me with this tonight as we read it together. If it is possible, as far as it depends on. Come on, can everyone just put your hand in your chest for a moment? Like you. Okay. Everybody with me? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. God's talking to you tonight. This scripture is not for somebody else. This scripture is for you to apply to your lives. Live at peace with? Come on, let's say that again. Live at peace with? Come on, that is a very challenging piece of scripture. I don't know about you, but if you don't have the context to this, I could say to you, do you want to live at peace with everyone? And your natural answer will be, yes. I like peace. Peace is cool. I think peace is nice. But here's the thing. Not all the time do we apply peace in every one of our situations. Because sometimes you could read the scripture as, live at peace with Liverpool supporters. And live at peace with slow drivers. Live at peace with taxi drivers. Anybody been in the, yeah, you know that. Live at peace with the people in the traffic at school rush in the morning. How's this one? Live at peace with political leaders. Everyone. Live at peace with cat owners. Come on, Tia. Or live at peace with those guys that try and explain to you how the JSE works. How many of you have ever been in that situation? Or how crypto works? Live at peace with, come on, say it with me. Live at peace with? And that's what the Bible's talking about. It's talking about living peace with even the most difficult people in your life. And so the title this morning, this evening, is actually less of a title and more of a statement for you to make yourself. So maybe look to the person next to you and say, I am a peacemaker. I am a peacemaker. You see, the Bible is telling us that blessed are the peacemakers because they'll be children of God. And tonight, as I look over the auditorium, we have a lot of children of God, and therefore you have a mandate to be a peacemaker. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. And you know why this is so crucial? It's because I don't think that peace and people mix very well. How many of you love drinking those cappuccino packets? You know, the Nescafe ones that say cappuccino, and they come in a pack and you tear them and you put them and you put hot water in. Show of hands, who's ever had one of those? Okay. Now you would know the pain of trying to stir that sucker in. Okay, because as you put the powder in, you're trying to stir that thing in. And how many of you have been in that situation when you move the phone and there's still floating bits of raw powder and you're like stirring and you're stirring and you're going like, oh my word, I can't get this in. And then eventually you drink it and what's at the bottom of the cup when you still finish? A whole clump of powder. And it's like a nasty taste when you drink it and you've got this explosion of like half powder, half weird cappuccino flavor. Come on, do you know what I'm talking about tonight? And I think that peace and people are kind of like that. It's not impossible to mix. Like if you took the time to mix it and you put the effort into it, you could mix it. But I don't think a lot of us mix because peace and people don't mix so well. It's been nearly 2,000 years. To be exact, it's actually been 2,024 years since Jesus gave us the scripture. He dies on the cross and he is about to ascend to heaven. And he says, you know, he is the Prince of Peace. And so the Prince of Peace says this to us out of John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus gave us peace when he ascends to heaven. But can I show you some weird stats tonight? That since Jesus gave us that stat over 2,024 years ago, I want to let you know how many wars have taken place in that period. 14,554 major wars have taken place on the earth. They say that an average of 5 major conflicts happen around the world every year. And currently, you're probably aware of serious major conflicts around the world right now where people are dying and wars are busy happening around our planet. And you may even think like, yeah, but 14,500, maybe that's like the barbaric days. Now, we've got Krispy Kremes now and we've got like Starbucks. We're peaceful people. And I think the more sophisticated we become, the more bloody we become. And so I want to let you know that over the last 100 years, they say that 108 million people have died because of wars. And it's still continuing. That number keeps going up. You know why? Because sometimes peace and people don't mix so well. And so you know what they try to do to fix this? A very key date for us in the world was the 2nd of September, 1945. Sorry, I love history. So I'm giving you. 1945, there was this sexy machine, not called the iPod, not called the iPhone with iTunes. That was called a radio. For those of you in the generations that don't know what that is, that would have been your means of hearing about the news. But on the 2nd of September, 1945, World War II comes to an end. and they decide what we're going to do is not allow this to happen again. And so we're going to start something called the United Nations, a peace group that is going to talk about our mission. Our entire commission would be about creating peace around the world. So on the 24th of October, 1945, they start the UN. I want to let you know, these guys have got a busy job keeping peace around the world. Because in the last 80 years since they've actually started, we have not seen one day of peace on the planet. Peace and people don't always mix so well. And so our tendency is war. Our tendency is to fight. Our tendency is our opinion. I know more than you. And I want to let you know, if you're the most right person in the room, you'll never learn anything new. And that's where we get stuck, is we never get into teachable spirits. We get into telling spirits. And so this causes conflicts. It causes war. And because we're prone to attack, we're prone to offend each other. We're prone to be afraid. We're prone to be overprotective. Why is this? Because people are always against people. There's always this action and reaction. You did this, so therefore I do this, and I can justify my actions. You abused me. You took advantage of me. You let me down. You refused to change. You changed too much. You lie all the time. You're way too honest. Have you ever been told you've offended somebody because you're just way too honest? I mean, if you think about it, you'd probably agree with me. This whole thing's never going to work until we learn to have peace with God, peace inside of ourselves, and learn to have peace with others. Each one of us have to play a part in this. We need to discover how to become peacemakers. David, in Psalms 120, he actually says this. He says, "Too long have I lived amongst those who hate peace." I think even today, if you look on your social media, how many people do you see then they're just not peaceful people? Somebody posts a comment and we just have all these trollers kind of unpacking you, and like, and you're going, wow, that's griff. Like, where's that coming from? Like, peace and people don't always mix. But I love how David goes, "Too long I have lived amongst those who hate peace, but I'm for peace. But when I speak, they for war." I mean, we make the same mistake as David. We somehow think that we're not having a part in the problem. You see, if you don't have peace, you're part of the problem of no peace, because God's called you to be a peacemaker. And David, even in this, is saying, you're the problem. No, you're the problem. You're never going to get to a space where God wants to create peace within you, peace around you, peace through you, and that you can use that for the furtherance of his kingdom. And so I want to let you know that the problem is not always outside of you. We need to learn to realize that the problem is actually us if we're not using every opportunity to create peace. You know why? Because peace is my responsibility. Some of us are trying to save the whole world when you can just start in your home. You can just start in your family. You can just start in your marriage. You can just start in your business. Some of us can bring peace to the areas we are in right now. But I want to let you know, peace is my responsibility. There's an ownership to making peace. And the peace in your home, the peace in your board meeting, the peace in your workplace, the peace in your church, the peace everywhere you go, peace is going to be your responsibility. And I believe if we took up Paul's advice in Romans 12 and we lived in peace, our world would be way different if everybody applied the ability to bring peace to a situation. Andre preached the other day and he was talking about building bridges. And I think too many times we get so caught up in our own ideologies that we cut ties and we don't build bridges. And God commands a blessing when there's unity. And for us, we need to realize we got to start by recognizing what is our part. You know why? Because on the 19th of May, you're going to go and stand and you are going to vote for somebody. But I want to encourage you right now, before you do that, you know, winning a political argument is not as important as winning a soul. And I want to let you know that God wants to use you as a peacemaker to win souls, not to win arguments. And so we got to realize that God has an approach for us. He has a calling for us. He has an assignment. And the assignment is wherever you go, you are a peacemaker. Yes, something cool is in the Bible, they actually say that God's nature is recorded over 400 times as a peacemaker. If you want to live the example of Jesus Christ, you need to apply becoming a peacemaker. I heard this joke the other day, and a guy gets stranded on a desert island, and the search and rescue go out for 7 months trying to find this guy, and they eventually find this castaway on this island. And as they get up, and the captain gets on the island, he looks and he sees three huts, and he says, "Is there anybody else on the island?" He goes, "No, it's just me." And he says, "Well, what are these huts?" He says, "Well, the first one's my home, and the second one's my church." And he says, "Well, what's the third one?" He says, "That's where I used to go to church before they offended me." Sometimes we cause our own problems. And Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." I don't know about you, but I want to be a child of God. And my role is not just to be a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. How do we do that? And so I'm going to talk about that tonight. Proverbs 16:7 says this, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Three practical steps and things we can do to activate in our lives as we want to become peacemakers. Before I intro these points, I'm going to quickly just backtrack on the scripture and start reading from Romans 12:14, and then we'll hit straight into it. It says, "Blessed are those who persecute you." Have you ever read that scripture and gone, what does that mean? How many of you, when you're being persecuted, go, "Bless you"? It's one of those that don't, kind of like, but listen to what he goes, "Blessed are those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." From verse 16, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." As a peacemaker, if you want to be a peacemaker, the first thing you need to realize is we don't walk around giving people what they deserve. We give them grace. We don't give people what they deserve. We give them grace. Here is why we should practice this. It's because our human nature is, you hit me, I hit you. My kids, I'll be working, and then, there's my little guy. And if he's screaming, "What's going on?" And my little guy will scream until somebody comes. And him and his brother, I come down and say, "What's going on?" "Well, he bit me." "Why did you bite?" "Because he bit me first." Then he hit me, and then I hit him first. And it goes back and forth. And you say to yourself, "What is going on here?" Do you know what's so crazy? Is I see that in the church sometimes. And we've got to realize how immature that is. As you give to get and get to give, it's childish and it needs to stop. And we've got to realize that God wants us to become peacemakers. How do we do that? Well, Colossians 3:13 says this, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." I love this because it actually says that we need to bear with each other and forgive each other. Could I get the worship team up so long in the meantime? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I want to let you know, I'm looking at a whole lot of people here tonight, and all of you have something in common. All of you have been forgiven of a lot. You see, sin separated us from God. And it took a sacrifice of his one and only son on a cross. The blood that he paid for it. Not anything you paid for. You don't deserve it, but he gave it to you. By his grace, you receive that. You are forgiven of much. And who are we, if we are so forgiven, to not forgive those against us? And I love us, Paul says, "Bear with each other, forgive one another if any of you have grievances against that person." I want to let you know tonight, if you're sitting here with a grievance, you need to learn to let it go, because it'll be the poison you drink hoping they die, but it'll carry with you over and over and over, and it never lets you go. It haunts you. Unforgiveness is something that haunts you every single day. And I want to encourage you, how do we do that? Well, we do what Christ does. We forgive no matter what. We give a grace no matter what. We're not giving people what they deserve. We give them grace. I am expected to give grace to the same degree that God has given me grace. Romans 12:17 says, "Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If at possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Number two, as a peacemaker, if you want to be a peacemaker, you need to learn to take initiative. You need to learn to take the first step to reconcile broken relationships. Well, Dita, I don't understand that. They hurt me first. No, you need to take the first step. I've been in situations where I have offended people and I haven't known why I offended them. And I felt awkward around them. And I don't know, it's been, anybody been in a position where you've offended somebody, but you don't know why? And you know what you need to do in that moment? Is not judge that person and go, what's up with you, bro? Can you get, in that moment, and whenever I've been faced with it, I phone people and say, are we okay? If there's anything that I've offended of you, I want to apologize right now. If there's anything, please let me know because I really didn't mean to. I apologize in advance. If there's anything, and it's so funny how that apology opens the door for me to actually speak to that person. And 9 out of 10, we always reconcile that. There are 3 options when we release broken people. When we release relationships. And the first one is you release them. You delete them, you block them, you get rid of them. I want nothing more to do with you. Get away. Uncle Graham always uses the word, so I'm just going to quote Uncle Graham. What's that? Or we could take revenge. You need to take revenge. You need to get them back. They've done this to you. Hurt people. But I want to let you know, Romans 12:19 says this. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge and I will repay, says the Lord. We want to get to a place where we are reconciliation. How do we do that? 2 Corinthians 5 says this. God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them. When we're about to fix our relationships, you don't walk around and have a checkbook and go, all of those things, I'm never going to forget them. Jesus never did that to you. He washed your sins. You know, when God looks upon you, he only sees the righteousness of his Son. Your sins are washed away once and for all. When we receive Jesus Christ, God looks upon his Son. And it says that he reconciled himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are committed to a message of reconciliation because that's what God does for us. That's what we do for people. You know what I love about Jesus? There is no relationship broken that he can still not pursue. There is no person too far gone that he will not keep going for. And we need to, as Christians, have the reconciliation mindset that goes, I'm coming no matter what. I am a peacemaker. God, work on me, in me, through me. I'm going to reconcile this relationship. We are going to forgive and have a culture of forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore to you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's a question for you tonight. I'm rushing through a lot of this because there was something I want to do, but I'm going to ask you a question. What broken relationship is the Holy Spirit leading you to fix tonight? What relationship does God want you to forgive? He wants you to reconcile. He wants you to bring grace to. You see, we need to realize how we do that. Well, you know, when I'm in a position, I get on my knees and I pray to God first before I approach anyone. And then I take out a pen and a book and we get strategic about this. I say, God, as you speak to me, I'm going to write down, because when I meet this person, I just wouldn't want to meet them willy-nilly. Will you give me discernment? Will you give me wisdom as we do this? Now, this is in Matthew chapter 18. I've put it in a diagram so that I could explain it better for you, if we could get that diagram up for Matthew chapter 18. So this is actually the verse, but I'm going to explain it to you. See, from verse 15, it says, if your brother has sinned against you, it says, go to him and reveal what the issue is. And he says, if you won him over, well done. You've won him over. That's good. But if you still don't win him over, go, verse 16 says, go on and get one or two more witnesses to come with you so that you can counsel and mediate and reconcile this relationship. If you still don't win them over, go to the church and get the church to help you mediate. And if you still don't win them over, spray them in the face with water for as long as you can, with ice water. It doesn't say that in the Bible, by the way. But this is where we get it wrong, and I want to show you. We as Christians sometimes start here. We have an issue with somebody and we tell the whole church. Then we go and tell a few more people, and then we go to the person and try and reconcile. God did not do that. God came for you one-on-one. You were important and he came for you. And we need to realize that we shouldn't have enemies. Romans 12:20 says this: if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Number three, as a peacemaker, I actively love difficult people. Can I get those balloons, my boy? We actively, how many of you love difficult people? Eh? I heard somebody once say, and it's always stuck with me. Yeah, you love difficult people. Do you know what you need? You need the EGR. Do you know what the EGR is? You can get to difficult people and they drain you. It's like, and you're going like, how do I deal with this? Well, you need EGR, extra grace required. You just pray, God, can I have extra grace required for this situation? Then you approach them and you deal with them. But I want to let you know, as Christians, we don't shy away from difficult people. We're drawn to difficult people. You know why? Because everywhere you go, you're a peacemaker. Peace is my responsibility. We take initiative to deal with these, and we love difficult people. And sometimes peace will always come at a cost. The peace in your country comes at a cost because somebody sacrificed. The peace in your neighborhood comes at a cost because somebody from neighborhood is working all night volunteering to serve and make your neighborhood safe. And the peace you're going to have in your home, the peace you're going to have in your work life will be the peace that comes at a cost, but it's your responsibility. So what's your next step? What's your next step? I think sometimes we can be like these balloons. I want to tell you, what's in this balloon determines the direction this balloon goes. It's the exact same balloons, same color, same string. They look identical. If I put them up like that, they look identical. But what determines the direction of this balloon is what's inside the balloon. And what determines the direction of this balloon is what's inside the balloon. You see, in this one, there's helium. In this one, there's bad breath. Hey guys, I want to let you know, sometimes we as Christians, we get offended and somebody comes to us. I want to let you know, when you're a peacemaker, no matter what hits you, you keep rising. You could be offend me. You can come at me. You can swear at me. I'm going to keep rising because of what's inside of me. I have the Prince of Peace in me. I have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And because of what's inside of me determines the direction in which I bounce back. But sometimes somebody says something and it hurt you and it offended you. That one little thing they said to you and it sent you soaring straight down. Maybe it's not the outside of your appearance. Maybe it's not the outside of your situations. Maybe it's not those things that dictate your joy. You know what dictates your joy? What's on the inside of you. And what is on the inside of you? Are you a peacemaker? Because God has called us to be peacemakers. Can we stand and worship? As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I don't know what you need to reconcile. I don't know who you need to go to. But right now, I want to pray that God will give you discernment, that God will give you wisdom. So the first group I want to pray for tonight is if you need to go and mend a relationship, something that's been catching on fire, something you've been needing to deal with. It's a broken relationship that God is calling to you to be a peacemaker in. He's calling you to give grace in there, to take initiative and to make sure that you are not looking at them as difficult people, but an opportunity for God to work. And if that's you this evening, I don't want you to raise hands. I just want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you that it's not by our power nor by our mind, Father God, but by the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. It's what's on the inside of us, God. Our situation was out of our control, the outward situation. But Lord, just as the helium balloon, it's what's on the inside that's going to determine the direction we take. And so Lord, I pray that you tonight would give us a clean heart. Will you cleanse our hearts from that, Father God? Will you give us the discernment and the wisdom to deal with that? The second group of people I want to talk to tonight is, you may be here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. I have to let you know that you don't have that peace because sin separates us from God. It actually blocks that peace of God. And God mindfully and wonderfully made you. You are so important to Him. But sometimes sin can separate us from God. But what God did is by His grace, He sent His Son to pay that price. Not something you could earn, but only something you can receive. And the Bible says He stands at the door at knock. And all you got to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that He is your Lord, that He is your Savior. You invite Him in and you allow the transformation to happen from the inside out. You change your direction tonight. And if that is you and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it actually says that, you know, you're a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And if that's you and you want that, on the count of three, I want you just to indicate with just a show of hands. One, God so loved the world. Two, three, that He gave His one and only Son. Three, if that's you tonight, can you just show of hands? Thank you in the front here. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Church, maybe we can pray to us. Lord God, thank you that you love us and you made us on purpose. Lord God, I'm yours. I recognize that. Lord, I want to repent of the things that have separated me from you. I want to turn away from those things and I want to receive you tonight. Will you come into my heart? Lord, will you transform me from the inside out? Lord God, I want to serve you for the remainders of my days. In Jesus' name, can we give God some praise?
Awesome. Come on. Let's honor Dieter. Let's thank you for the message. Come on, one more time. I just want to encourage you to stay, even as you pray. Maybe you're working through conflict, or just stay, even as you lay your request before God, stay grateful. And so put it at His feet and then thank Him for what He's already done. And remember, gratitude is a miracle magnet. Even as you need a miracle to resolve conflict, a miracle, His forgiving power, stay thankful. So come on, in this moment, let's just thank God again one more time. Let's lift Him up. We praise you, God, for all your power, your forgiveness. God, how you've reconciled us, God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Awesome. Can I ask everyone just to look to their right? You see a door's open. If you put your hand up, maybe you didn't put your hand up, but you prayed that prayer and meant it, your next step is to tell someone. Tell someone that you've come back to Jesus or for the first time received Him as your Savior. Even as you do that, they can pray with you. And then they can also tell you a bit more about your next step, following Jesus. It's a foundational step where you really get to find out more about Jesus and really sort out your foundations as a Christian. I want to encourage you, if you're new, grab your first coffee at the banners, the red banner and the God Camp banner. You can get your first cappuccino and you can get any other information you need there. Also, if you need prayer, you can also make your way to our room over there. We got prayer counselors, men and women, so somebody who can pray with you. Have a blessed week. Cheers.